Hello and welcome to the Outpost Frequencies, brought to you from the last movie Outpost. I am not George Lucas. Thank you for joining us. As always, last week I had technical issues, which ended with violence towards a microphone, so I do apologise for not uploading something last week. I am back on track now. But to make it up to you, this week we have an interview with the wonderful Courtney Palm. It's all introduced in the up-and-coming podcast, so basically enjoy listening to Courtney talking about her new movie. Hello, and welcome to the Last Movie Outpost with me, not George Lucas. And today we have a very special guest with us. She has done an interview with us before on the Last Movie Outpost back in March, and she's now doing a live video, or not live, but a video interview with us. It is the magical Courtney Palm.
Hello, hello.
Did you like the instruction magical? Because I know you're quite in touch with your spiritual side, aren't you?
Yes, so we're all magical. We forget that sometimes.
It's a good thing to remember. I've got a brief introduction to Courtney, just in case you may not know who she is. This has been taken from IMDb, and I think everything is correct, but we will double check. So, Courtney Palm was born in Castle Rock, Colorado. She's no stranger to being in front of the camera, being a model and a runner-up in the Miss Teen Denver. She has a master's in forensic science, and she also likes to work construction. She's a bit of an adrenaline junkie. She enjoys things like skydiving, bungee jumping, cliff jumping, and parkour, but also enjoys meditation and yoga. She takes very good care of herself, both spiritually and physically. She is a lover of animals and a big animal rights activist, and once jumped into a river to save a baby otter. She studied at the Ivana Chubbuck Acting School and the Theatrecraft Playhouse with Rick Walters, and earned a BA in theatre at the Californian Lutheran University. She describes herself as a mix of Angelina Jolie's Danger and Audrey Hepburn's Grace. She has won Best Supporting Actress at the Nice International Film Festival for the short film Herringbone. Some of the movies that she has been in include Sushi Girl, Zombievers, Death House, Female Fight Club, as well as having smaller roles in films like Purge Anarchy and Alice in Wonderland, and also has a love of coconut cream ice cream.
Yep.
So, coming back to some of those points, you've got a master's in forensic science. Is that something that you wanted to do when you were younger?
No, it was kind of a new development, actually. When I was younger, I wanted to do something that I find now an archaic practice that should be completely eliminated, but I wanted to be a dolphin trainer when I was a kid, or something to do with water. And then I realized, you know, dolphins are captured in the wild and they're slaughtered by the thousands, and then they're put in these tiny tanks to perform for people. And so that went out the door. But I, as an actress, I'm very interested in psychology and how people operate and what causes people to become who they are. And that's why I went into forensic science. It was actually forensic psychology. So I could understand, let's say, if what happens is you understand who a criminal offender is and why they would commit a crime. So you're sort of dissecting what happens like after something has happened. So if an individual kills themselves, like what was the cause? Or if someone commits a crime, what was the cause? So that's where the forensic aspect comes in. But also I was very interested in just the human mind and what makes us tick. And that's why I chose that. And I chose it at a later date in life because I was doing my own healing and advancing in my own mind and trying to understand what I was thinking. And that's why I chose that later. But yeah, as a kid, I loved acting. It was like something that I loved to do, and I just wanted to be creative.
You've always been a performer then?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's fair enough. I think a lot of us actually kind of lose that quality as we get older. We become more self-conscious and, oh no, I don't want to do that. And particularly I find ladies are sort of, oh no, don't film me, don't take my photograph. But obviously you embraced it and carried on with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, we all have self-esteem issues, and that actually, if you're talking about my spirituality in the beginning of this video, You look at your chakra system, which is your energy system, and it's both scientific and metaphysical. And a lot of us, like I'm doing this chakra cleanse right now, and I'm on the sacral chakra, which is perfect because that's all about what you just said. It's about just embracing who you are and your creativity. And a lot of people feel, and men too, feel like they can't be as creative, or because they can't feel and they can't emote and they can't sit with their emotions. And that's what happens as we get older. We start to close off these energy centers in our bodies because of fear or rejection, or we have to make sure we get a job to like pay for these extravagant living places. And some of them aren't even extravagant and they're just expensive. So I think we lose our creative touch, and we lose touch with like just being beautiful, like how you are. You know, a lot of us still like, I mean, I love being photographed and modeling and everything, but if someone was like, snap a photo with a cell phone, I'm like, wait, hold on. How do I look? Like, it's the same thing. It's just like this perfectionism that we have to attain. That's just asinine. And it's not true to who you are. So, and then to just really quick, make a point, everything you said in my bio was correct.
Okay.
The only thing is, my friend and I wrote this, and he said, I would much rather be saving a baby otter. So I never really saved a baby otter. I just watched them. But I did save a rattlesnake on a highway. So there was a road we were on, which is also in my bio, and there was a rattlesnake in the middle of the road. And I was like, nope. And I stopped my car and I stopped traffic. And luckily, the guys that were on the opposite side of me had a pole, and they got the snake off the road, but he would have been run over had I not stopped traffic. So that's the otter one isn't true. It's more of a desire that I would rather do than.
Yes, I think out of saving two different creatures, obviously a baby otter would be much cuter than saving a rattlesnake. But all lives are precious when it comes to the animal kingdom.
Right. Yeah, I think they are. And they all teach us something too. Like the snake is really symbolic for knowledge and higher wisdom. Your kundalini. So I thought that was kind of actually quite powerful.
So like I say, you do look after the both the spiritual and the physical side of yourself. As I said, you have worked in construction. What kind of things have you specialized in that degree?
Yeah, I was helping run a concrete business, so it was a lot of physical hard labor of breaking out concrete, picking up really heavy chunks of debris and throwing them into a wheelbarrow and then picking them up and throwing them into a trailer. And then our trailer was really heavy and it wouldn't lift. So we'd have to throw them off the trailer at the dump yard. And then, you know, before we could even lift the trailer. So it was a lot of concrete work, basically just like tearing out people's driveways or garages or patios and then re-pouring them with standard concrete or stamp and colored concrete. And yeah. And it was my dad's company. So when he would go out of town, I would run the company. So all these big companies like lumber companies and concrete companies were all heavily male dominated. And I was like this one female, this like tiny little thing that would walk in and be like, what's up? I need this and this and this and this. And yeah, I mean, I pulled my back out a few times doing that damn job, but I enjoyed it.
Do you think it's something important to prove? I mean, like I say, it's kind of one of those male dominated industries. Do you think it was important then for you to be able to sort of show up and show that a woman is just as good at doing a job as a man?
You know, sometimes I felt that way, and then sometimes I didn't want to make it some sort of like feminine rights or anything like that. So I was like, eh. But you know, it's interesting because a lot of my coworkers are Mexican, and their culture is a lot different. Their women don't really work. And if they do work, it's just like, I don't know, being a nanny or a cook or something like that. And even then, like in Mexico, like the women aren't waiters. They're like in the back cooking, and they're never like this like front woman kind of thing. And so most of these, my coworkers would like always take things away from me. And I'm like, it's my job too, like give it back. So sometimes I would just sit there and watch and be like, well, everybody's doing everything and there's nothing for me to do, because they didn't want me to work. They were still like, oh, this delicate woman, she's a woman. And I'm like, you know, watch me do this. So then I would, you know, take over. And yeah, so that did happen a few times, and it did feel like I had to prove something. And then everyone would just be shocked that I could like wheelbarrow heavy concrete, you know. It's just like, how is this possible?
No, fair enough.
I couldn't take like really big loads though. I had to take like 3/4 to half loads because concrete's very, very heavy.
I'm somebody who's not worked in that kind of industry. I am very much a in front of the computer type person, and I have done physical work, and I realize how bad it can be. With it though, are you somebody who finds that they enjoy work? Are you somebody who is constantly working, or are you quite happy to sort of sit at home and do nothing?
I think there's a mix of the two.
Okay.
Because I think too, like, I think with society, we feel like if we're not doing anything that we're worthless, and it can really be damaging. Like you're sitting at home going, I got to do something. I have to do something. Like, what do I have to do? And sometimes you don't have to do anything. You can just sit and meditate and self-reflect or read a book, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Like someone wrote a book for it to be read. So it's okay if you waste a day sitting down reading a book and you're not even wasting the day.
That's but a really me, good point. That you like you yeah. say somebody's taken the effort to write it, so why not take the effort to read it?
Right. And people forget that, you know. And I've always been like a workhorse. I think it's just because of the way I was raised. My parents were always just working, like all the time. And if they weren't working, they're doing housework or something. And you just feel like you have to like do it because they're doing it. So it's kind of like a program. And it's a program that might not have been healthy for a while because, you know, I was coaching gymnastics at night while I was doing construction during the day and then doing auditions or films wherever I could. And I literally worked every single day but Sunday. And so it was like 14-hour days every single day that I was pulling. And it's because like I felt like I needed to. I felt like I had to make more money or whatever. And you know, it was really unhealthy. I didn't spend time with my dogs. Like at one point I remember coming home and my dog had like thousands of ticks all over his face. And I was like, okay, I need to take a few days off because clearly I'm overlooking these vital aspects of my life that are more important than working. And, you know, actually I just watched The Squid Game, which is on Netflix and binge watch it annoyingly enough, it was like, okay, what's more important than money? You know, because everyone was like, oh, money, I'm going to kill you for money. And then it was like, oh, you could see little things that were more important than money. And so for me at that point, I was like, I need a break. So I quit coaching gymnastics and I was like, I'm only going to do one job at a time and I'm going to spend time with my family and my dogs because that's more important. And I think that's what the pandemic taught a lot of us too.
Yeah.
Is that to sit down, slow down and spend time with things that really matter.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I'm the same. That my dad always worked and I've always worked, and it was a couple of years ago I broke my foot and I couldn't do anything, but it did teach me to just sit down and actually meditate at some point in times, because I was kind of sick of the TV and everything else, and I would just sit there in peace and quiet and take that in. It's a good thing.
Good.
Now, believe this or not, going through your portfolio on IMDb, we have actually worked together before.
Oh, yeah.
You will not.
On what?
No. Yeah, I was going to say.
British show?
You will have no idea, but basically, you appeared in Alice in Wonderland in the Red Queen's party, didn't you?
Yeah.
If you pause the end of Alice in Wonderland, there was a whole sequence where Alice gets on a boat and travels off. I was an extra in the background.
You
can't even see me. You would never have. Like I say, the only reason I know it's me is because I paused in the right place and put a circle around my face. But it was nice to know that we've almost worked together before.
They actually came to America to finish some things that they didn't get initially, and that's when I came on board. But I was just an extra as well.
Yeah.
I worked like a week doing that scene, so it was an exciting time for sure. You know, I love seeing how big budget movies work.
Yes.
There's just like, it's very coherent. It's clean. It's structured. There's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was fun though.
And the last thing is, you love coconut cream ice cream. I have bought you some, but I can't obviously get it to you, so I'm going to eat it in your honor afterwards.
Pretend.
Okay, so.
Because I mean, dairy is really bad for the body, and it's really a horrible industry for the animals. So for me, I was like addicted to ice cream. What was the alternative? Coconut cream ice cream. And I became addicted to that. It was so yummy. Now I'm working more on like breaking up with sugar. But like Nara Mu is my favorite coconut based ice cream. It's pretty yummy.
Okie doke. Well, it's something we can certainly look out for. So let's talk about your new movie, Beyond Paranormal. It is now streaming on Amazon. Now, without any spoilers, how would you sum the movie up? Because it is quite a complicated story, isn't it?
I know, because initially it wasn't written that way. After the movie was made, the director, Matteo, added scenes. So I saw that for the first time like 2 weeks ago, and I was just like, oh, this is new. This wasn't in the script.
Right.
I would just say it's a fun, manic, depressive, schizophrenic roller coaster ride that you should take lightheartedly, like a comedy and a joke, rather than like, oh, I want to be scared. Like, you know, a lot of people are thinking they're comparing it to like the Paranormal Activity movies, and it's just not the same just because it has the same word in the title.
Yeah.
You can't compare it to that. It's its own little entity. Where interdimensional beings are trying to infiltrate our lives so that they can manifest into this reality because their other reality was compromised.
That is a good way of putting it. Like I say, I know that some people had compared it to Paranormal Activity. And like I say, I kept thinking, like I say, it's just got the same word in the title. It doesn't make it the same type of thing. I think, what initially, obviously you just said that it was not the film that you originally thought it was, but what appealed to you about the script in the first place?
Just because my character, she just goes through a lot of fun and dramatic escalated scenes. So like she experiences an array of emotions and she becomes different people, and it was just so diverse that I thought it would be really good to have in my showcase as like a part of what I can do for the role, essentially. And there was a lot I had to do, so, and there was a lot that I did that was really hard on my body and on my voice that was cut from the film, but it was like a lot of possession scenes where you're moving around. It's really violent. But I mean, there's a lot of really physical work. So I wanted to show that I can do physicality in my acting, as well as like jumping from character to character in one scene. And yeah, so that's really what drew me to it. And the casting director also I trusted. So that's why I kind of said yes.
Oh, that obviously makes a difference. You're working with somebody who knows you and knows the director, and then figures that that's a good fit for each other.
Right, yeah. And I worked with him at Chadwick Strzok. I worked with him on Zombievers. He was the casting director on that and the casting director / producer on Disappearance. And so I felt like, okay, this, he puts out good content. I trust him. And not only that, the role was really fun. And Matteo, the director, was just really like, he's like a little kid in a candy shop. He's like so excited and so vibrant. And I was just like really drawn to his energy.
That's good. I was going to come on and ask about that later on. But I mean, with Matteo, obviously, he's a relatively newish director. He's only got a couple of films under his belt. Do you prefer to work with somebody like that, or somebody who's got a more extensive catalogue under their belt, so that you can look at their work and know what you're sort of getting yourself into in the nicest way?
Yeah, it depends, really. If they have at least one thing that I can view and I see it and it's like, oh, that's really bad, then I know to say no.
Yeah.
But Matteo had sent me a short film he did, and I thought it was executed very well. And not only that, when I spoke with him, I felt like he could speak with me as an actor and a human on a level that's not like I'm just a number. And, you know, I've worked with directors before where you literally are just a number, even as a lead. You're like, get in, get out, get in, get out. And it's just like, that doesn't fuel me creatively or as a human, as a person who's walking this earth with you. Like, you're not better than me, you know?
Yeah.
And there's some people who have this elitist attitude or an entitled attitude, and you know, I don't want to work with them even though they have a huge resume. And you know, it really comes down to who you are as a person and if you can execute something. Like, I know that, you know, some people can't get sound very well, and you're just like, the sound on this movie is really bad, like, but I love you, should I say yes or no? I don't know, like, maybe this one will be better, you know. And, you know, sometimes you do things with people just to help them out.
Right.
And, you know, I've worked with people who have had no credits at all. And I thought, you know, if I work with you, you know, I'm helping you learn and I'm just getting a little practice session in, and why not, you know? So
yeah.
I think it really just depends on my mood.
Oh, no, again, completely fair enough. And again, funny enough, talking about directors, where is it? Chaz, the director in the movie played by Oliver Cooper. Now,
yeah.
I saw him as a complete parody of that type of person. Have you ever worked with somebody like that before in real life?
Oh, yes. A few people who shall not be named. But yes, I have. And actually, a friend of mine who's also a horror director said the same thing. He was like, you know who this reminds me of? And he said the name. I was like, you are absolutely right. And he thinks his work is golden. And yeah, that is shit doesn't stink and all that. So yeah, no, there are people out there like that, unfortunately. And then, you know, you can get sucked into it when you're a new person, to the business, and it can be like a good like learning point for you, and then afterwards you can just laugh it off. But I think his character was really fun. He executed it very well.
Yeah, he certainly made, I think every time he was on screen he made me laugh.
I laughed every time. My mom loved him. She was like, he was so funny.
Now Lily in the movie, she considers herself a method actor. Is that the way you work in real life?
No,
right,
definitely
okay.
Not. Okay, so method, okay. I do pull a little bit of method into my wheelhouse. The thing is if you're really method, sometimes like it can get scary. You know, like Shia LaBeouf can get really method sometimes, where he's actually drinking during movies and, you know, he pulled his tooth out in a movie. He got a real tattoo on his chest. Like that is too much for me. Especially like, and some of the people who've gained a lot of weight or lost a lot of weight for a role, kudos to you, but you really mess up your body system. You mess up your organs, you mess up your skin. It's just, it's really, it's not worth it. To me, it's not worth it. So I like to pull a little bit from everything. I've studied Stella Adler, Stanislavski, Chekhov, and then, you know, the people I've worked with Rick Walters, Anna Bonachubic. I really like their approach. So I kind of pull a little bit from everything. And as far as like method, you can bring in that realism during like an emotional scene. Mm. You know, if you've lost someone, you can really pull in that real life feeling, and it can really damage you. But in order to cry, you know, I use real life traumas in my experience and pull that in there. Otherwise, you know, you make things up. You're creating an imaginary experience and making it real. So it's very theatrical, or you can be very intimate. And when it gets really intimate and you're making these imaginary circumstances real to you, it can really mess with your brain.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, in line with that, in the movie, Lily signs away her privacy completely. It seems that, you know, even against her will, that everything is being filmed. Is that something you'd ever consider doing?
It depends on how much I'm getting paid, you know. But I don't think so. I don't think so, because I think there are things that are really intimate in your life that you need to keep sacred. And now as I get older, I realize that that's important. So I would not do that.
No.
She was just a very desperate person, and that's what prompted her to just give everything, because she just was so hungry for likes. And I've been around real people like that. I've had friends like that I've had to leave because they're so emotionally draining, but also because their desperation is just, it just reeks off of them, and it's really heartbreaking. And hopefully, you know, you can realize and wake up to your own true potential and who you really are without anything, and you don't need this approval or validation from anyone else.
Again, that was one of the questions I was going to come on to, but you've kind of answered it, that you're not somebody who is massively concerned about how much likes you get and all that kind of thing. You just seem somebody who's very happy in your own skin.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of self-work, a lot of self-inquiry. So, you know, we're always comparing ourselves to other people, and it can be very damaging. And, you know, I look at some people and I'm like, why do they have a small nose? What the hell? Like, why does everyone have a small nose? You know, and then I'm like, you know what? No, I need to be happy with who I am and appreciate who I am and this body that I've been given. And how can I cultivate this being that I am? Mm. And it's not for anyone else, you know, and if I can influence anyone else in a positive way, that's where the success is in my life. not in who can validate me or who can like me. And, you know, I want to be appreciated for who I am on the surface level, not because I'm someone on the screen. You know, a lot of people fall in love with Zoe from Zombievers. I'm not her, you know.
So. No, but again, that's a beautiful way of putting it, that ideally, like I say, the likes that we can get from social media and everything else really don't amount to anything. It's how we are as our own person, you know, how people survive before social media. It seems to be a mystery, but people just did seem to be happier. And do you think social media has caused an issue with people's own self as time has gone on?
I think it depends on the person. Yes. I think some people can be empowered by it, and many have. And, you know, others can make really profound life changes because of social media. But at the same time, I think it can be damaging to the ego. The ego is a very fragile part of our being. And if you're not feeling whole within yourself, you're going to compare yourself to others and find this lack somewhere within you, and then feed that lack every time you go on, because there are millions of subscribers on all these different platforms. Mm. And suddenly you're like, I can't dance as good as them. I can't sing as good as them. I'm not as funny. I got to do this and this and this. And suddenly people are copying each other just to, like, you know, I don't know, just become seen. And you have to realize that you are seen without all of that. And really it comes down to just yourself. Even if no one else is around you, can you see yourself? Can you love yourself? Can you find wholeness within yourself? Not seeking it from someone else, you know, someone else's approval or validation of you.
Excellent way to put it. Now, the other thing that struck me about the film is I saw it when it first came out, and I have been constantly saying, ain't no thing like a chicken wing. Not that it was a catchphrase of the film.
Like a chicken
wing. Yeah. Do you enjoy doing accents?
I am terrible at accents. Like, I'm terrible at them. In my next movie, I have to film in April, and I'm playing a French teacher.
Okay.
So I need to start studying French, because no, I don't do them well. I don't have the ear for it. You know, some people can, like, play music and they have the ear for it, and they can do accents and have the ear for it, or impressions. I do not. But when I was growing up playing, like, Barbies or whatever, I would try to do a British accent. And I could do Southern every now and again. So, I mean, it's fun to kind of put on this character and put on this persona. And I was like, this old man. And yeah, so I like it, but.
Right. I'm really going to put you on the spot now. Give me a bit of the British accent.
No, I can't do that, love.
That's not bad. I can recognize that's kind of London. That's not too bad.
It's kind of London. I don't know. Like, I'll just, I don't know. I don't know accents. I just play around.
It is funny, because I mean, one film that always sticks out to me is The Transporter with Jason Statham, because he's a London guy, but then he does the American accent, and it's awful. And then sometimes when people do try to do the accents, they really just don't get away with it. So I think you should know your limitations of what you can and can't do. French is going to be interesting, though.
Yeah, well, she's a French teacher, so I have to speak French and I have to rap in French.
Oh,
but she's French. So that's at least a good thing. So the whole movie, I'll have this voice.
and
I don't have to have an accent.
I was going to say, you'll have an accent in French when you speak French. French people will be going, oh, no, listen to her. She is not doing a good accent type of thing.
Yeah, it'll be like terrible. But my character's kind of a wannabe as well. So she's a person who I think thinks she speaks better than what she does. Okay. So I think that will add to the depth of her character and who she is and her struggle for, she's also a human or a character that wants to be liked and appreciated, and she goes to all these extents to be something that she isn't, and towards the end of the movie she finds out who she really is.
Okay. Funny enough, again, it was one of my questions. You're almost reading my mind with these, but I mean, you've got a few future projects on IMDb. Anything that you can specifically tell us about that you're looking forward to and for everybody to see?
You know, I think I'll just talk about something that's already been wrapped, because from the minute I feel like, well, we create our reality, but at the same time, jinxes happen. And whenever I talk about movies that are in development, something happens, like the pandemic shuts it down, or the producer gets sued by his wife and suddenly we have no money. You know, things like that have happened to me. So I did a movie and I got hurt. So then I was fired from it because I couldn't walk, because I blew out my knee doing parkour. But yeah, so I won't shed any light on that besides the fact that I have one in April where I will be doing the French teacher. But we just wrapped, that should be coming out soon, is called Involuntary. And I did that with Hutch Dano, who was in Zombievers with me and Disappearance. So it'll be a horror film, kind of like a fun slasher, cabin in the woods type film. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. I saw the trailer recently. It's still private, so no one else can see it. But that one, I think people will like for sure.
With that, you just mentioned seeing about the trailer. Are you somebody who is conscious of your own self when you do you watch your own work back?
Yeah, so this is interesting. For me, it takes me like 3 or 4 times to... Well, are you talking about like the film itself or like watching playback while I'm on set?
No, on the film itself, the finished product, because you just said that obviously Beyond Paranormal was slightly different to what you originally thought it was going to be. But when the film comes out, do you sit down and then watch it and then criticize yourself? Are you happy with yourself?
Yes, definitely. It takes me like 3 times to watch a film before I can actually enjoy it. Because the first time I'm looking at everything and remembering kind of the nuances that happened on set. Like during the Ouija board scene, we had a huge laugh attack and we couldn't stop laughing. So they had this wide shot that I don't even think they ended up using in the film because we were laughing the whole time. We were trying to hide our laughter and we couldn't stop. And then Patty's character... Patty was just like, "What is my line? I don't know my line." And we're just like, "Oh my God, I don't know your line either." And Ryan's just like, "What was your line?" And then there was a time where I like wrote lines on my hands. I was like, "Your line is just laughing." So I watched the movie and I'm thinking of like that laugh attack, or I'm thinking of, "Oh yeah, that's the day we're all mad," or you know what I mean? I can't like enjoy the movie the first go around. And I'm also thinking about, oh, look at that angle of my face. Look at that lighting. And, you know, it is very self-criticizing the first go around. Then the second go around, I'm kind of like, how's everyone else enjoying this movie? Like, what's your reaction? I'll like try to see what other people are reacting to the movie. And by the third and fourth time, I actually can sit down and enjoy the film without judging myself, without analyzing the scenes. And most of the time I try to wait like another year before I watch it again. So like I can actually enjoy it. So Zombievers, you know, I ended up doing the 3 and then watching it about a year and a half later with a friend. And I was like, oh, wow, this is actually a good movie. Like, I finally get to enjoy the movie itself. So I like to revisit my movies like after a few years.
No, that's fair enough. Again, it's one of those things I can understand that it's obviously very different. I've always been a person who's quite happy behind the camera, not in front of it. And when I'm in front of it, I just look at myself and go, oh, no, 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 and just don't enjoy it at all. So it's nice you get to enjoy your own films. That's a really good thing. So wrapping up on Beyond Paranormal, it is streaming at the moment. And what would you say to encourage everybody to go and see it?
Well, for some of those fans out there that like me scantily clad, you'll enjoy the movie because I'm half naked through all of it. And for the others that are fans of Zombievers and kind of like the spoofy comedy horror, I think you'll really enjoy Beyond Paranormal. And, you know, it's a good eclectic cast. And there's a lot of really interesting spiritual elements to it, too, that are real-ish. So you can actually learn something, a thing or two. And it's just kind of a fun ride. So go there without expecting to be scared, enjoy the moments, enjoy my split personalities and like my schizophrenic being. And I have really cute outfits and it's fun. Great locations, cool storyline.
I think that sums it up really well. So Beyond Paranormal is on Amazon at the moment for you to stream. And so we've got, very quickly, just to finish up, 20 questions. Very quick.
Oh, geez.
Very quick. Very simple answers. You don't have to go into detail unless you want to, but...
Okay.
Here we go. Number 1. What is your spirit animal?
Oh, I have a bunch. My main power animal is Nefertiti. She's a black jaguar.
Okay. What's your favorite movie?
Dirty Dancing.
Okay. Who is the best actor or actress ever?
Julia Roberts.
What season are you?
What season am I? Spring.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
I was going to say, you can say either. You don't, just because I call myself not George Lucas, it doesn't matter. Or you, if you don't want to pick one at all.
Star Trek, sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm one of those people that's quite happy if people love Star Wars or don't. It's really not an issue. You're allowed to pick one and stay with one. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok?
Oh, Instagram.
Who has been your biggest inspiration?
Jeez. I guess my mom.
Favorite band or album?
Oh, man. I think I like Nothing More right now.
You can travel. You can travel in time and take any role of any movie that's ever been made. What role would you have loved to have done?
G.I. Jane, Demi Moore's character.
You'd have been all right shaving your head for that?
Yeah.
Because she got paid $1 million. she got paid $1 million for shaving her head in that, as I remember. But, okay. What's the most amount of takes you've ever had to do?
Oh. Hey, me, myself, because it just, you know, sometimes it's camera's fault or the other person's fault.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I think me personally is probably 4.
Oh, okay. So not working.
It's not a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say working with someone like Steve Soderbergh or Stanley Kubrick, where it goes up into the 30s odd. So no, 4's, yeah, 4's not bad.
Well, the thing is real quickly, we aren't like $10 million movies, you know what I mean? Like, I think the most of the time we get, like, sometimes we get 1 or 2 takes, and if it's good for camera, it's good for us, we got to move on because we don't
okay.
have time.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's completely understandable. What do you consider a life motto?
Don't fear, just trust and believe.
Favorite drink?
Water.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been starstruck meeting someone?
When I was a kid, I don't know, 13, I met the Backstreet Boys, and I sang for AJ's mom in the lobby while she was waiting for AJ to return back from an event. And when they came back, they used my pen to sign all the autographs. And then Nick Carter was like, "Whose pen is this?" And I was like, "It's mine." And that's the only time I've ever been starstruck, because I've been around Oprah and Will Smith and Mariah Carey, and I've been around some big names. And I think I'm not starstruck anymore, but I was around the Backstreet Boys.
No, at 13, it's completely understandable. Now, obviously, that you've probably... Because, funny enough, going through your IMDb profile, you have worked with some really big names, I saw. There was quite a few names that popped out to me. And I was starstruck once.
Mark Hamill.
Really? You've met him, have you?
Mark Hamill, yeah, and Sushi Girl.
See, I haven't seen Sushi Girl yet. That's really bad.
Oh,
I
shouldn't. You're going to have to see it, because Mark Hamill is in it, and he's very good.
In my defense, you have got a huge catalogue of movies to go through. There's quite a lot there.
Listen, I will tell everyone which ones are worth watching and which ones to just not look at all.
Okay. We'll do that another day. But do you prefer to work in or watch film, TV, or theatre? What do you prefer to watch?
Jeez, to watch?
Yeah. Film, TV, or theatre? What do you prefer to work in? Film, TV, or theatre?
Film.
Okay, fair enough. Marvel or DC?
Ugh.
Neither. Okay, that's fair enough.
They're all going to hate me. You know, I think it depends on the movie, actually. It's not one or the other for me. It depends on how they put it together.
Yeah, no, again, that's completely fair enough. If you could work with any director, either alive or dead, who would you most want to work with?
Oh, geez. Honestly, I really like Steven Spielberg and the movies where they've used practical effects. And I know he does a lot of producing now, but just to be in something he's done, I would think I would just be in awe of it, to be honest. And I know he didn't direct Gremlins, but I watched it last night, and I just love... He produced it, but I just love, you know, the practical effects and the puppets and, dinosaurs and everything. I would love to work with him. So E.T. was incredible.
Well, see, that's an interesting one, because genuinely my next question is computer effects or practical effects. But but funny enough, you say there that obviously Gremlins is a prime example of practical effects, because there's very little effects in there. But then Jurassic Park, obviously there were practical effects, but there's also a lot of CG because it kind of pushed the boundaries. But which do you prefer, computer effects or practical effects?
Well, like you said, because he kind of combined the two, and that's what we did in Zombievers. We combined it a little bit, but it was mostly all practical.
Right.
And the thing is, it's like for me now, as an awakened individual who's conscious of our planet, I think CGI makes more sense, or computer effects, whatever, just because we're not wasting material. Yeah. Whereas, you know, practical effects, you know, you're building these big creatures or these big sets or, you know, fake hands, fake legs, whatever. And it's really wasteful. It just uses a lot of material. But I have a theater background, and practical is like my favorite. It just makes so much more sense to me to be around it. But, you know, the beavers and Zombievers, the hero beaver actually had real fur on it. And I'm really not cool with that. Like, give the fur back to the animal. It shouldn't be on a puppet. And so for me, that's where I kind of like, oh, I love practical effects, but at the same time, let's do some CGI. Save the environment. So I'm torn at this point.
Fair enough. What is your favorite book?
The Witch. It's like a series of books by James Clemens. It's about witches. So it's like Witchfire, and it's Witch and Witchfire. I don't know. It's a whole series. So those are my favorite.
Okay. We've gone through one of the questions, because one of them was, do you like to watch your own performances? But we've had that one.
I do.
You can only eat one food for the rest of your life. What would it be? What meal or food, or sort of individual food or meal? You're only allowed one for the rest of your life.
Okay. I got this vegan cookbook in front of me. So I'm just going to flip to a page and just...
one of those will be good.
Avocado toast. I'll take it.
There you go. there you go. That was, like I say, just a very quick get to know Courtney with 20 questions. So thank you for that. And
awesome. That was fun. Thank you. I like that.
Thank you very much for joining us at the Last Movie Outpost. Like I say, you've got a lot of fans on there who do love your work. Just again, what would be your message for the readers at the LMO, which I've wonderfully put
Last Movie Outpost, people, remember your worth, remember your inner power. It's all within you. You are perfect. You are whole. You are made from stardust. I love you. Love yourself. And remember, if you're worthy of goodness and grace, and you are a god, so is everyone else. Let's get together. Let's unify. And let's change the world by being more harmonic and loving, but first to yourself before you can do that to anyone else. So love yourself. It's all that matters.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much for that. I'm going to put up your Twitter and your Instagram accounts so that people can follow you on there. And apart from that, Courtney, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us this afternoon. Oh, it's this afternoon for me, morning for you. I apologize for getting you up early on a Saturday, but thank you very
much. You woke me up.
But thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you guys so much for watching, and thank you so much, not your George Lucas. Phil, thank you. You're amazing. I appreciate you. And you've been such a supporter for so long, and I honestly am so grateful. Like, you have no idea. Like, it really means a lot. I might not always be conscious of everything around me, you know, but I do know and recognize and feel the energy from my fans, from people like you, and I wouldn't be here without you. So I really do appreciate you. And thank you for following me and loving me. And remember to love yourself. And I thank you, really.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Wasn't she nice? She genuinely was a really lovely person to talk to. She really was great. I hope you enjoyed that. All the details are on the website about the interview, if you want to see some more of it, because we did actually chat for a good few minutes afterwards. Which was really nice as well. I might put that on the next podcast. But until next week, have a good one, behave, and most importantly, watch some great movies.